cliffcentral.com.
Welcome back to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central, and we've got one heck of a guest.
I'm feeling so good.
I'm really, really pleased that you're feeling so good. Why are you feeling good?
Because it's hot in here.
Why?
Because we've got a dragon in here.
yes, we do.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to Future CEOs. It's really good to have you here with us.
No, thank you very much, Gareth and Hlubi. It's a pleasure to be here and to just share a journey of some sort. I hope it's decent, you know.
We know it's going to be. You wouldn't be a dragon if the journey wasn't decent, but also filled with a couple of lessons, maybe some mistakes. We're looking forward to getting into a little bit of that as well. For those who are just joining us, just tell them what the show is all about very, very quickly, because there will be some that weren't here for the first half hour.
Well, our Future CEOs community is basically those high potential young executives who really want to fast track their careers and grow their businesses, or wanting to basically start up something new on their own. And we're here to advocate and amplify and catalyze entrepreneurship.
And right now we're doing it with, again, a Dragon's Den dragon. But you're more than that, Lebo. Just tell us a little bit about you. Give us a little bit of a feel for your background, where you come from and what you're doing right now, please.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's amazing when you're in Johannesburg and people just see who you are.
Yeah.
They don't have a clue where you potentially, some others think, he's just lucky, he just got where he is.
Mm.
But as I said to you, it's very important to zoom into a journey of someone, because that's where your biggest lessons are. So that's why I think this show is an amazing show.
Oh, thank you.
Because it dabbles exactly into that, because that's where most of the lessons come from, in that journey. Personally, I was born in a place called Elalini in New Brighton, Port Elizabeth. I was actually born in a shack.
Oh, right.
Behind a funeral parlor, behind dead people.
Are you serious?
Yes. And I was raised by a helper, because my mother was a nurse and could not be around, and my father was in Durban most of the time.
Wow.
So I literally, that's most of the year of that year when I was born there. And I was very fortunate to survive that space. But I think it just clearly shows that, you know, for a person, it's not really where you come from that determines and defines you. It's the route that you set for yourself that defines. So you always have an opportunity and the choice in life. Mm. So I made a decision that, this is who I want to be. It doesn't matter where I come from, whether I was born in a shack, but this is who I want to be. And my surname also did not add a nice vibe to it, because it said Gunguluza. So most of my school friends used to tease me and say, Gunguluza, you're a loser. You know, and so I didn't really. So I had a lot of mental strength to gather from where I came from in order to break through. I guess that's why today they really called me the breakthrough entrepreneur, because some of these hard obstacles you're put on, and then you still can come out and share your story and share an example of what potentially success can be. My father passed away when I was 6 years old, so I didn't get much time to even spend with him. So I was raised by my mother, who was a nurse. So a thing called a toy was very foreign to me. Until I finished my matric. So I really did not have much of a, but the one thing that my mother did for us was to try herself to use as much of an opportunity to educate us. And I think that's the biggest gift that she really tried to give us. So she took us away from a school in New Brighton where we used to do a lot. She took us to a rural boarding school. So I went to a rural boarding school in Tumaletu in the Eastern Cape. That didn't help much either, because we used to boycott all the time. So I repeated grades about three times.
Oh, wow.
So every time we're about to write exams with doi, Bantu education must fall. You know, like now they said fees must fall, as it was Bantu education that time. So I repeated school about three times, and my mother decided, nope, this is not going to happen. Let me use the money that, you know, when your father passes away, usually they've set up some funds for you to use for university.
Mm.
So she used those funds to get us to a private school called Woodridge College, which was outside PE.
Wow.
When I got to Woodridge College, they told me that really You don't know English, my chief.
Okay.
And you're not going to cope. So we'd rather you repeat the same grade 9 again.
Mm.
So I repeated it for the fourth time. So I guess most people, when I say I finished my matric at 20, they probably think I was the dumbest person on earth, but they don't understand the circumstances of where I came from and why it was like that.
The mere fact that you're sharing that with us is so significant, though.
I
can't
believe it. Think, I didn't know that.
Yeah, think about the people who are out there who are maybe struggling with some aspect of their education. They just can't get there.
Yes,
and so they are
matriculating
at 20.
Yeah.
I mean, you're really a beacon of hope to all of them and certainly to us as well. Thank you.
Yeah. I think, you know, most of my life when I was repeating these classes, going back to the same classes, you know, duck and diving, doy-doy bullets and all of that stuff, you know, when we were in the rural school, really I was starting to lose hope that I will ever finish my education or I'll ever do this education thing. But one thing about, I appreciate my mother because she kept on insisting that, you know, this is the only thing that will liberate you from where you are. It's the only solution to liberate you. So for me, I focused, I started working a bit harder to make sure that I continue to pass. But I think for me, where the great opportunity lay was that in us transferring us to the private school,
Woodridge.
That's where then we started unfolding our talents.
Okay.
Because then we got involved in sport. With us, there was no sport.
Mm.
The only sport you had was girlfriends.
And
we had no sport.
I've got to ask you the question, were you a winner? We know you were. You had to be. You're a good looking guy.
Yeah. So, then we repeated, I repeated grade 9, but I was so angry with the fact that I had to repeat again. And I asked myself, so this English thing must be very, very important. So I said to myself, I'm going to commit myself to learning this English. So I started talking English to everyone. I didn't care whether you're a helper, you're a teacher, you're
a
mama,
so
you're a sissy.
Right.
I made a commitment to start speaking his English because I needed to change the circumstance. So I think the most important thing is when I entered a competition in grade 11, where they asked all students across the country, all scholars across the country, to write an essay because DSTV was starting to launch all these multiple channels.
All right.
And so they said, if you were to write a one-page essay on how DSTV should introduce these channels, how would you go about it? So we all wrote the essay. There was over 10,000 young people, Indians, whites, coloreds, blacks. We all entered from across the country. And out of those 10,000 students that wrote, I came number one.
Oh, wow.
Given the fact that I had only learned English in 2 years.
What did you say in your essay? What did you write about?
It was probably, they said it was one of the most creative introductions ever.
Mm.
And that helped me to align my future. So I knew that my talent is creativity. I'm very creative, and I guess I'm a creative communicator. That's why you find that all my businesses are built around the creative spirit, the creative communication, and all of that. And I think I always say to someone, if you can identify your child's talent at the earliest age, they'll always have an advantage in life. Whether it's DJ Ark, whether it's Beyonce, whether it's Tiger Woods, they always have an opportunity to be world class by the time they reach 20. Unfortunately, at 20, I was still only finishing my matric.
Mm.
But if you identify and you start working on those talents and skill your child around those talents, you'll always have an advantage. And I think the person who I am now, I'm one of probably the most creative entrepreneurs in South Africa when it comes to communication. And that's what has given me an advantage over most business owners in the country. That's why I broke through many phases of my life.
Yeah, it's just because you grabbed at the understanding that this is the center of who you are in many ways.
That's my gift.
Yeah,
so
exactly,
I'm here
exactly,
to give a
nice.
Gift. Hubie, her gift is to communicate, is to articulate messages, whether they're television or whatever. But she has now, owned her gift. Mm. But the biggest thing about your gift is to distribute, is to find different distribution channels to make it work, which is what you have done. You've used television, you've used radio, but you've got to expand the channels in order to get more rewards from the world.
I hear you. So, entrepreneur, turnaround strategist, business leader, dragon investor. What more? What next? What are your dreams? What are your visions?
You know, I must tell you, when I reached matric and I was starting to, I was struggling now to get money to get to university, I made a certain decision in my life because I was so hurtful with being broke and with being told you can't get this, you can't get that. You know, my mother was so beautiful. I was even wondering, well, why couldn't she have just gotten a rich boyfriend and our lives could change? But she was so in love with my father that she had no intentions of getting another man. So I made a promise to myself that, look, at the age of 25, I don't care what happens. I'm just heartful. I must be a millionaire. By the age of 35, I must be a multimillionaire. At the age of 45, I must be a billionaire. So I set a long-term goal because I knew that I want something that will keep me going for years to come. So that even if things are bad in my life, but I must be able to look back and say, but this is the promise I made to myself. So in that process, I used the same creative spirit now to align my life. So where I am now is that at the age of 27, through a creative event that I hosted with a particular radio station, I managed to make my first million.
All right.
But it was also after a serious introspection on where are you, Lebo? Why are you still doing little parties? So I changed the numbers. So I moved from wanting to do projects where I'm making 10,000, 20,000 to say, I need to build a stronger campaign. So I started approaching the radio station. I say, why don't I do this major event for you? So I took a risk, but the risk paid off. So I made 1.6 million from that event.
All right.
And it was my first ever 1.6 million. In fact, it was my first ever seeing anything over 100,000.
I need to see that. I want to see something over 100,000 put level.
Yes.
I've often, just in conversation with individuals, we speak often, and I say to them, guys, often what is happening with entrepreneurs is we're not dealing in different principles. When you get bigger, you're just adding a couple of zeros and a little bit more hard work to the projects that you're involved in. Is that an accurate description of what you did?
It's a very accurate description. I'll make an example. When I say to people, change the numbers. If you are doing gardening and you are working every day, you must remember you've got the same 24 hours as me.
Mm.
It's what you decide what that hour brings to you.
Mm.
What that hour, is that hour bringing 200 to you? Or is that hour bringing 2,000 to you? Or is that hour bringing 200,000 to you? You have to make a decision.
What if it's 200 with potential next year? Is that not good enough?
You see, you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. If I'm doing gardening and gardening in a day brings me $600, you have to ask yourself, is this where I want to be? Is this the space I want to be? So if it's not the space you want to be, then upscale yourself into sectors and areas that take you to the next zeros. But unfortunately, when you have to go to those areas, it requires a bit more mental strength. That means mental knowledge of the space that you're in, researching the areas where you're going to be. So that when you decide, I'm going to move into consulting and I'm going to be a competition to Deloitte and Tosh, so that means I'm going to charge 20,000 rands an hour.
Yeah.
You better upscale your mindset into that space. Because remember, it's about the mind. So if you are doing 200 rands, a day or 300 rands. So you tell yourself that you want to make 20,000 rands a day or 200,000 a day, but there has to be systems and processes in place for you to achieve that. So I believe that you are given three opportunities in life: the body, mind, and soul.
Mm.
Now, if you're in the body space of life, which means you are the one, the plumber, the guy who's physically involved, that means you have to be there physically to get the product out.
Yeah.
That means that you'll most likely remain in those low numbers.
Sure.
But once you move into the mind space, that means that you have space where you're managing people. So you are employing people and you are delegating work. That means the minute you move into the mind space, it means that your numbers change automatically because now you've got 10 gardeners or you've got 20 engineers working for you.
Yeah, they're in the body space.
They're in the body space. You're in the mind space.
Yeah.
So already all the money that they make in the body space, half of it comes to you.
Yeah.
And you are using your mind to manage it. And then you move now into the soul space, the spiritual space, which is the space of ideas, where you go into the space where you can't see where the future is, but you are told that you must produce this cell phone called an iPhone, but you don't exactly know, but you believe through the ideas that keep coming into your mind that you believe in. And those things, that area comes with lots of challenges, because you have to convince people about something that you can't see and they can't see. And once you crack it, the world rewards you abundantly. Think about Bill Gates, who came out with Microsoft Office. Now, whoever thought that we'd be using Microsoft Office to do our work?
On every computer.
And he didn't even know how this thing is going to look like. But look how much he's been rewarded. So entrepreneurs, most of them, fall into their spiritual space where there's got this hunger in them to make this thing happen. But everyone is telling them, but Chief, you are drunk. Chief, you are lost. You are crazy. And that's a space that most entrepreneurs fall in. And that's a space some of them go mad, because they feel that I can see this thing, but everyone else is against me.
I just can't translate it.
I can't articulate it. But you can see this vision. And that's a space where most billionaires are born.
Now, amen. Hallelujah.
Very nice. It is. It's a very
goosebumps.
It's an important point, because I think too many of us try to be too logical and too practical about many of these things. I mean, to the point where some of us might even say, I'm never going to be able to earn 20,000 rand an hour or 200,000 rand an hour. But a really nice quote that I once heard was, price is only a problem, or what you charge is only a problem in the absence of value.
Yes.
So where value is, people don't care what they pay you for.
Exactly.
As long as you're adding that value and you're doing it in the right way.
It's extremely subjective. And especially me, I'm in communication. I mean, I remember one time that I was working for an advertising agency called Head Boys, and we had to come up with a name of a campaign. Now, we charged 75,000 just to come up with a name.
Imagine.
Now, it all depended on how you justify how you came and how many hours it took and how much to come up with a name. I mean, I could have come up with a name within 2 minutes, but if I spend a lot of effort justifying on how many hours, what our team had to go through, what this name means and all of that, then you're able to justify the price of coming up with a name. And yet it's so, you could have come up with a name in 2 minutes and I could have charged 5 rands. But the question is, how much value do you place on yourself in terms of the workload that you put on yourself?
Tell us about Dragon's Den. How did you get involved?
The Dragon's Den was a very interesting process for me. What happened is that in 2011, in fact, I was doing extremely well in my business. I was earning a bit too much money.
That's the first time I've ever heard somebody say that. One day I need to say that. Don't you think if we see us, we need to say that?
I think so. And if we can't do it ourselves, then we must go to people that are saying it and say, oh, well, we'll take the
You see what happened is that I had a number of businesses where I was earning. You know the first rule that Warren Buffett says, that you must never rely on one income.
Yes.
So I learned that. What I did, I had a couple of streams of income that came in a very strategic way, and then I was making quite a good amount of money. So I said to myself, look, I've reached my second goal. Okay, now I'm towards my third goal, but for me, I have two choices to do. It's either I chase this billionaire goal very aggressively, but what will it mean for me to be having a jet when I know most of our people are in the township?
Thank goodness you have that moral compass.
For me, I pitch up with the Bentley just so that all these guys in the township can see, well, hey, this guy is now rich. So I said to myself, look, and I just bought 7 cars just that week before when I made that decision.
All right.
And I said, I'm sitting in these cars. What value am I getting? What pleasure am I getting? Am I happy? And I said to myself, I'm making a decision now. What I'm making a decision is that I'm going to take half my salary. I'm going to recruit 12 entrepreneurs over 12 months to start 12 enterprises. And I'm going to be a 50% with them in those businesses.
This is a very spiritual space, right?
Yes, this is what you were talking about. Yeah? That's why it was called the 12-12-12. So I launched it on 12 December 2012. Mm. It's like the way Jesus was. He had 12 disciples. Mm. So I used the same concept to say, I will recruit 12 entrepreneurs over 12 months and start 12 enterprises where I'll back them up. I'll give them all the resources that are out of my budget, but the only thing I'm not going to give them is money, because I'm teaching them how to make money. So it's like the concept of teaching them how to fish. So I'll give them the resources to fish. I will teach them how to fish, but I'm not going to give them the fish. So that's when I started that journey with them. And as I ran that journey with them, and I opened up, I gave them offices here at Catherine Street. They were state-of-the-art offices, more like Apple Store. And then they were beautiful. And I started the journey with them. That's when I actually discovered that some people are not born to be entrepreneurs, like singing. You either have it or you don't have it. Or you have middle of... So no matter how much I can... make an effort to teach you how to sing. If you just can't sing, you just can't sing.
Sure.
So it's the same thing as entrepreneurship. That's what I learned. And as I was going through that journey of supporting those guys, I think it got to the guys who are producing the Dragons Den, that Mr. Kunguluza is funding and supporting and mentoring young entrepreneurs. So they then invited me, and then they said, would you like to be a Dragon? Because we like the work that you are doing. And I said to them, you know, absolutely, because I'm struggling to find these entrepreneurs, and I'd love to see some of them during the Dragons Den show so that I can fund them and I can pick them up, support them, and all of that. So for me, it was like a calling that was really a loud calling, and I said, definitely, it's a great opportunity for me. But funny enough, actually, I did not even know Dragons Den at that time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All I knew is that I'm just helping these entrepreneurs. and these people say there's more entrepreneurs going to present their businesses to you. Why don't you go in and listen to them? And I didn't know that Dragons Den is actually an international show.
Yay.
So during the shoot of Dragons Den, I was actually trying to figure out, what is this show about?
Learning on the job.
Yeah, learning on the job. Yeah. So most of the Dragons, when they arrived, they kept wondering, why is this guy got earphones and he keeps watching? Because I was trying to find out what is going on here. So during the Dragons Den show, they actually put me in the middle, and I thought, yo, what the hell am I doing? I don't even know where to start here. So the producer kept saying to me, I'm not comfortable here in the middle. So they changed me around, put me on the side so I can watch what these guys do, and then I'll figure myself on the way in terms of what this show is about.
Which is another great principle. You can learn things as you do it.
Learning on the job.
Richard Branson says, say yes to any opportunity and then learn as you go along.
So I always say, take the risk and then you learn, because most people are really always scared to fail. And I've learned not to be scared to fail. I've tried so many companies. I mean, I've got so many companies now. I think I've got over 32 companies now.
Wow.
But because I partner with guys, others I start them from scratch. But if we fail, so what? Mm. But we've tried it. It didn't make money. So what? You get what I'm saying?
I think Gil, when at the Leader X event, we had him there. And one of the quotes that we took out from what he shared with us there was, if there were two different entrepreneurs, one of them had failed three times, one had succeeded three times, he'd invest in the guy that had failed three times, because he knows that this person knows how to get up and, you know,
exactly. He knows better. Yeah. They even say that the glory of in life is not about the success that you achieve.
No guts, no glory.
But yes, it's about how many times you've fallen and you have risen up.
No.
That's where the glory lies, because it means that in that rise, you've learned the things that you should be doing and the things that you should not be doing in business. That's why Gil would trust the guy who has failed more, because he knows the hard knock. I mean, in 2004, I closed down. I was employing 67 people and I was a young person. I was in debt of 3 million rands. I'd never seen debt of 3 million ever in my life.
Yeah.
I owed everyone who you can think that I could owe, from Telkom to a travel agency. I owed suppliers. I owed everyone. And you know what? It was so sad to close down and have to get rid of and retrench people that you've grown to love and people that you've grown to work with, because the business has gone bust, you know. And for me, I think I learned so much that time, that these days, the reason why it's difficult for my companies to close down is because I know how to maneuver for the companies not to close down.
Very nice.
I even said on Dragon's Den that I failed so many times that failure is now scared of me.
Very nice.
Talking about Dragon's Den, and for all these reasons, I'm in.
Yes.
The book. Tell us about that.
But can I just interject here? We've been having such a good conversation here in studio. We're running out of time.
I know.
Yes. So, let's take a minute or two just to talk about the book, because there's also there's a philanthropic side to the book as well, which is a fund where all the things are going. Please,
that's it.
Talk to us about
that. You see, the idea of the book is that during the show, we found it very, very, said that most, especially black entrepreneurs who are presenting there, they didn't really know how to package their businesses. Mm. They didn't know what are the most important things to say and not to say when you are pitching. And you must remember, you are only given 3 minutes to pitch. It's more like an elevator pitch. And especially when you get asked about your business, we found that the answers were not appropriate. So what we decided, so most people asked us afterwards that, look, since you're saying you're out, what are the things that then would make you say I'm in?
Yeah, what would have changed your mind?
Exactly.
Right?
Mm. So the idea was to make sure that in this book we put as much of our knowledge as dragons and as much of our expertise as dragons, so that we can put this medal or this pot of information of wisdom to make you a better entrepreneur and to make you sell your business better. Because for you, when you sell your business, it must be in such a position that it's attractive for the investor to say, I am prepared to invest my money. You must remember the entrepreneurs, the dragon investor or the venture capitalist, is his hard-earned money.
Yep.
And he does not want to put his money into something that he's not sure whether he will get his money back.
He needs some kind of assurance.
So, so the book gets you to that stage where you build your company to a space where you are able now to whether get the money from NEF or from any of these other funders, but especially from venture capitalists who are very shrewd and who want their money back. So the book empowers entrepreneurs to build sustainable businesses.
And the entrepreneurial development, the proceeds?
The proceeds of this book is that this book is all over the country now. It's at exclusive books, it's CNA, mm-hmm. and all the proceeds for this book go to a fund which we are setting up as entrepreneurs, so that those people who have learned enough from the book can then come back to us and say, this is a business I've put together.
I'm ready.
And I'm ready. Mm-hmm. Can you fund me? Then we'll have a fund from the same books to now fund you.
I love these dragons. We've met a few of them now,
Polo,
3, 4,
Gil,
and they all such fundamentally good people. Lebo, thank you for being in studio with us. I'm so sad that we've run out of time.
Completely blew my mind.
It's a pleasure. People can follow me for motivation on Facebook and especially on Instagram,
okay.
Kunguluza 99 or at Lebo Kunguluza, and on Twitter, I think it's at Lebo Kunguluza, but it's Okunguluza 99. They can just use one of those two to just really follow me so that I can converse with them and share some bit of ideas and wisdom with them.
I think we're going to be the first to follow.
You're my best.
Thank you so much.
All right. That's Future CEOs for this week. We are very, very glad that we've had these conversations. I hope that you download the app so you can also download the podcasts. We will see you same time, same place next week. Thank you very much.
I'm already searching for him on Instagram.
Excellent.